All right, the nine charismatic gifts. You have the page in front of you. We're in a series, and we picked it back up last week and this week again, on the gifts of the Spirit. We've spoken about the fivefold ministry gifts, and you can find these messages on gracechristiancenter.us. And so they are there for you. But there are three kinds of gifts, of the nine gifts. There's gifts of revelation, there are gifts of power, and there are vocal gifts as well. And this morning, we're going to spend some time on the revelation gifts. I spoke last week about spiritual gifts are to edify. And one of the things that the Lord had spoken so strongly to my heart that I will repeat here this morning is that we need to pay special attention to Him. And in the coming days, I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart, we need to, and we do need to do this all the time anyway, we need to treat His insights as silver and cherish His word as gold. Message plus ministry plus God's timing or moment, message, ministry, and moment in timing equals the anointing. How many want the anointing? We want the Spirit of God to rest upon us and to breathe through us and flow in us and through us. And He said, follow my word, my promptings, follow my voice, listen, listen and obey. What we do now will determine what we do later when times may be challenging, even more so than now. We need to become experienced at listening for His words. And I, for one, want to hear and see God. We spoke about being edifying and edification. And the Greek word okadoime is a Greek word of construction. And it means architecture, a structure, confirmation, and to literally build into one another's lives. Good things, solid things. Turn to each other and say, I want to help you with good things. And as we go to the scripture, the key word, thank you, Pat, the key scripture, as we look at this section of gifts that we're talking about these weeks, say it with me, please, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Edification. The Holy Spirit is here. He breathes upon us, guides us, leads us, prompts us, flows in us. How many understand we never have church as usual? I don't want church as usual. I want God's service this day. I want what God wants to do. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
What does He do? John 15. What does the Holy Spirit do? John 15, 26 through 27. I'm reading from the New King James. There are Bibles in the back. If you need one, I also put them up on the overhead. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, and the King James, of course, says the Comforter. The Helper comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of
me.
And who's the me?
Jesus.
Absolutely. You will also bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. Let's see that out of the Message version. Interesting. When the friend I plan to send you from the Father comes, the Spirit of truth issuing from the Father, He will confirm everything about me. You will also, you too, from your side, must give confirming evidence since you are in this with me from the start. Now, the King James says comforter. And the phonetic pronunciation of the Greek word is parakletos. Parakletos, I've called it parakletos, and it really is the Holy Spirit, and it tangibly means an intercessor, a consoler, a consolation, consoler, an advocate or a comforter. Let's go on to John chapter 16. More about what the Holy Spirit does. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. He will glorify who?
Jesus.
Come on, let's hear it real loud. Who?
Jesus.
He will glorify Jesus. For He will take of what is mine, the Lord says, and declare it to you. Read it out of the Message. But when the friend comes, the Spirit of the truth, He will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to Himself, but will make sense out of what is about to happen. And indeed, out of all that I have done and said, He will honor me. He will take from me and deliver it to you. What I want to say most of all as we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, church, there's one thing to hold on to. The gifts of the Spirit, they're all about Jesus. I said, they're all about Jesus. Jesus is the greatest gift of God. I'm going to say that one more time. Jesus is the greatest gift of God. He's the one we want to know and see. If the gift of the Spirit magnifies you, then it's not God's gift. Now, He will bring word of the Lord and prophecy and encouragement to encourage us for what He has put inside of us, what He has made us, who He has made us to be, but that's glorifying the Him in us. Amen?
Amen.
But look for Jesus. Listen to Jesus. We need Him and His Word more than ever. We need His fresh breath, the wind of the Spirit, the river of God, whatever metaphor you want to use. We've got songs for all of them. We can probably pull them all out. But we want the moving of God. Now, last week we spoke briefly, as we concluded, about an 11-year-old boy from Armenia. How many were here? Remember the story? 11-year-old boy from Armenia that God spent 7 days in a row. He did not know how to write or read. And God spent 7 days in a row pouring out picture after picture that this little boy carefully drew on a piece of paper. And it turned out that it was a perfect, beautiful handwriting of the Russian language, giving a direction on how for thousands upon thousands of Armenians to escape a coming disaster. And the map that he drew led them to the west coast of America. Now, it's one thing to have the word from God. It's another thing to have the timing. That boy was 11, and when he was 50, God spoke to his heart and told him, it's time. Thankfully, thousands upon thousands of Armenians believed him. They were from Kalakara, and they believed him. And they sold their properties for pennies on the dollar. And they made their way via that map to the west coast of America. Less than 12 years later, the Nazi armies and other folks moved in, the Turkish armies moved in, and literally decimated the Armenian people who remained. More than 1 million people died in a death march out to deserts and places like that. What am I saying? I'm saying God gives a word to those who want to listen. Am I looking at candidates this morning? How many want to listen to God? It's not more important than the Bible. If it's not based on the Bible, the Bible is the word of truth. If it's contrary to the Scripture, throw it away. It's not the voice of God. But God wants to speak to His people if He finds willing, listening, obedient people to speak to. Now, what I want to do this morning is talk about the revelation gifts, and we're going to speak about them and go into some measure of teaching. And this is where I want you to have some fill-in notes. And ushers, if you'll hand these out, please. And you're looking at me going, school? I didn't want to go to school. Anyway, it's all right. This gives you something to hold on to and to fill in for your notes. What are the revelation gifts from the Scripture? What is God meaning when we're talking about the gifts of God? And I think it's important to us to have some things to hold on to. And as you leave church this morning, I hope that you have a better understanding of the revelation gifts than when you came in. Now, this is more of a teaching this morning. So I won't have 30 stories for you and preach from the rafters, but I will bring a teaching from the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Thank you. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one or for each one individually as He wills. Let me repeat real quickly. Three sets of three. Revelation gifts, power gifts, and vocal gifts. And today we want to talk about revelation gifts. Now, they're a little bit out of order according to that chart that I gave you, but those three that we'll deal with this morning is word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And what does the Bible teach about these gifts? All right, the word of knowledge, as we begin, the definition of the word of knowledge, the bestowal of certain facts from God. which he reveals to one of his servants supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. Your fill-ins? By the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, there's a knowing in your soul. You know something. Some facts, some understanding that you didn't have before. You just know it. And you know it by the measure of the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we receive the word of knowledge? God speaks in all sorts of different ways, folks. Dreams, visions, revelation, even an audible voice. But your fill-in is true. Always a supernatural conveyance. Always is your word. Always a supernatural conveyance. What's the purpose? Well, the purpose of the word of knowledge, manifold, but does the discovery of whereabouts or conditions or nature or thoughts of a person or situation. It is something, and your next fill-in is the word impossible. Something impossible to learn in the natural. The word of knowledge helps somebody know the secret and intent of the heart. Now, it can deal with lost things. Anybody ever been frustrated because you've lost something? God can quicken something to you. Let me just tell you a little story. Again, I think she would be the first to say she doesn't always hear it accurately from God. But I spent a couple of days going out of my mind with the loss of my wallet. That was command central for me. I was going crazy looking for my wallet. I was turning everything upside down at my house. I almost tore my house down. Little preacher exaggeration there. Anyway, so I was looking. All of a sudden, I get this call from Jeannie Fuller. And she says, I know exactly where your wallet is. You go right here, and you'll find your wallet. I said, excuse me. I've looked and looked and looked, and I've been there. She says, go there, you'll find your wallet. I went there and found my wallet. The Lord spoke it to her heart. A word of knowledge. Okay, so God speaks to His people. And that was something about an object. But how many understand God much more wants to speak to us about lost souls? People that need God. Or maybe there's something they're hurting about. Or they've got a need in their life. There's something that they're bleeding about internally. But they don't want to share it with somebody outside. And God gives you the word of knowledge. And tells you what it is. Why? So you can pray. So you can be part of the solution. Not so you hold it over on them. Aren't I great? I'm mighty and I know. That's not the issue at all. If that's what it is, don't even venture forward in it. But it's the word of knowledge from God to be part of delivering and strengthening, helping and healing. All right? So God's purpose is to save people. But what is it not? It is not, your fill-in is, natural knowledge. It's not natural knowledge. The word of knowledge is not education, assimilating education or knowledge of nature or teaching. It's not a teaching thing where you stand up and convey natural knowledge. The word of knowledge is not psychology. You don't have these in your notes. I'm just expounding on it. It's not psychology. It's not science of the mind. It's all of those things, teaching and understanding, education, psychology, those things can be learned. We're not talking about something that can be performed by people without the Holy Spirit. We're speaking about the Spirit of the Lord. What is it not? It's not fortune telling. How many understand the devil tries to counterfeit every one of the gifts of the Spirit? It's not fortune telling. Listen, what is the fruit? We have a society riddled with fortune telling in every measure or kind. But what is the fruit of the demonic situation of fortune telling? Fortune tellers will tell you something that causes you to worry. It breaks your spirit, breaks your home, maybe your relationships, breaks your financing. It creates hindering and chaos for your future. You worry about bringing it to pass. Look for the fruit. How do you judge words that come? Number one, look for the fruit. Does it bring you closer to Jesus? Does it take you to the Word of God? Does it build up and edify as we've been speaking? Or does it divide? What is the word of knowledge not? Next, it is not the gift of all knowledge. Notice the Bible calls it the word of knowledge. Given by the Spirit. A word we know in part. Occasionally, someday we'll know Him fully. Looking forward to that day. But right now we know in part. It's not the, by the way, it's not the gift of good guesses. It's not a good imagination. It's not a good working of the natural mind. God moves and allows people to come up with answers, and there should be a common sense that we have. But that's not what this is. This is something done by the Spirit of God where you know in your knower something that you didn't know before and something you would have no way of having found out on your own. The word of knowledge. It's not simply knowledge about God or of God's word. That is important, and your study of God's word is crucial. Paramount, study to show thyself approved, the Bible says. But this is a knowledge without learning, without hearing or studying or experiencing that written. Now, let me just give you a quick illustration. And I'm going to finish this section with a couple of illustrations as well. But how many know who Eli was in the Old Testament? Eli was one of the priests, and who was along the lineage of, who remember? Saul. And so he was part of a lineage that was being removed by God. But here's a man who had a lifetime of understanding, experience, a lifetime of dealing with the Word of God, and all of that vast knowledge and Word. And yet, how many of you know he was devoid of the present anointing of God? But little Samuel heard a word from God, and he didn't have all those years of experience and study and walking with God, but he heard from God. So we're speaking about a supernatural word from God. By the way, it's not necessarily a vocal gift either, but it can be. But when it moves into the vocal gift, it's a knowledge in your heart. When it moves into the vocal, into the vocal expression, it can become something else, even a working of miracles. As we conclude our song service in the Lord might begin to speak to you words of knowledge. And if anybody have ever seen some of the people, Pat Robertson on television would conclude some of his 700 clubs this way, where they'd pray for people and God would begin to show him pictures. You've seen many ministers do this. And so if the Lord shows you a need, it may not be for somebody you know of specifically, but it might be a revelation that there is a need for someone here in this room who has this particular problem. It's a knowledge dropped in by God. Let me know. We want to give room for the moving of the Holy Spirit, because what we do then is we express that need that's been revealed and ask somebody to slip up their hands, and we will lay hands upon them and pray for them. And we want to encourage the moving of the Spirit. Someone say,
amen.
Amen. All right, so word of knowledge, word of wisdom. So the word of knowledge, examples. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 9 and 10, you've got over 24 things that God reveals to Samuel about Saul. Remember when Saul was out hunting for his donkeys that were missing? And God showed Samuel that those had been missing for 3 days. God showed Samuel that Saul's dad was worried. And God showed Samuel that the donkeys were found. Remember all the unfolding? It was one supernatural thing after another supernatural thing. Knowledge from God that he had quickened into his spirit. There was Ananias in the New Testament. He had knowledge from God. God says, Ananias, I want you to go pray for this guy named Saul. And what was Ananias' willing-hearted, obedient, sweet spirit's response? Are you kidding? Yeah, you've got to be kidding me. And God told him some things about his purpose for Saul, who became Paul. And God sent him, and he obeyed. And he functioned in obedience according to the word that God had given him. And then we have Peter, where a sheet comes out of the sky. And all of these, that's a vision, of course. But we also have God speaking to his heart that there were 3 men coming to the door. Go with them. God has given grace equally to Gentiles as well as to Jews. God has granted salvation. How many of you understand Peter would have never come to this knowledge on his own without the Holy Spirit? Never. I'm a good Hebrew. I'm not going to go to the Gentiles. But God's word of knowledge worked in him to take him beyond his limitation onto what God wanted to do. Word of knowledge. All right, let's go on to the word of wisdom. Word of wisdom. Knowledge rightly applied by the Holy Spirit. Your fill-in is the word rightly. Knowledge rightly applied by the Holy Spirit. You've got knowledge, but you've got to know what to do with the knowledge and when to do what God says in your heart. God shows the what, the why, the where, the when, and the how to address a problem. Basically, the word of wisdom, folks, and I'm just expounding on it, the word of wisdom is a supernatural solution to trouble. How many people in this room ever got trouble in your life? Come on. All God's people got trouble. But there's a supernatural solution, and we want God to move and guide and lead. You see things from God's perspective when He gives you the word of wisdom. This is the revealing of a prophetic future, or speaking hidden truths of what's not known, where you come to an understanding or a perceiving of God's way to accomplish His will in a certain situation. This is a divinely given power, onto your notes there, a divinely given power to appropriate spiritual intuition in problem solving. Is there such a thing as spiritual intuition? Certainly. Anybody ever experience it? Sure. God's speaking to your heart where all of a sudden you know what you are to do. It's a sense of divine direction and being led by the Holy Spirit to act appropriately in a circumstance or to rightly apply knowledge. So there's knowledge and there's rightly applying that knowledge. All right, how do we receive the word of wisdom? Visions, dreams, revelation, still small voice, audible voice. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? God speaks in many ways, but it's a supernatural, not a natural insight in speaking. God's wisdom is gained not by effort, but through prayer. There's your fill-in. Pat, I think if we'll lift it up one more. Nope. Okay. Didn't get on there. All right. But through prayer. Are you all with me? Are we in the right place? Okay, good, good. That threw me off there. Sorry about that. All right. What's the purpose? Parents, how many parents in the room? How many know that no two children can be exactly parented exactly alike in every situation? What worked well for one does not work at all for the other one. How many of you know there's nothing like children to bring you quickly to your knees? How many of you know if you had godly parents, you brought your parents to their knees? But we need the wisdom of God. Lord, what do I do? This one just responded great to this, and it just doesn't work exactly the same way in the other. Not every business customer, I can tell you, I have a business. Not every business customer responds to every situation. I'm not even talking manipulation. There are a variety of issues that can arise in people's souls, and there's just not a stamped out answer for each and every situation. It's the specific, at the moment, revelation for a specific need. And that's your fill-in, specific. It builds and brings revival to the heart, to the life. The word of wisdom gives God's answer. You all there? All right, what is it not? What's the word of wisdom not? Let's go on. It's not learned by the natural mind. Not something learned by the natural mind. Not normal education or training methods or natural wisdom. It's somebody without the Holy Spirit can do that. But again, what works wonderfully in one church doesn't always work wonderfully in another. We learned a long, long time ago when we went to conferences. And you know how they build pastoral conferences and church conferences, don't you? The ads in all the magazines is, if you don't come to this conference this year, you're not even going to know what the anointing is next year. You better go to our conference. You don't even need to be calling yourself a church. But you can go and learn about a certain set of scenarios that works great in one church, but you always have to have the breath of God to give you wisdom to how to apply that knowledge in your home setting, because it doesn't always translate in the same way. So that is necessary to have the word of wisdom. It's not just what we learn in our natural mind. All right? It's not the ability to give spiritual insight. One may be mature in God's word and in wisdom and experience, that's not the same thing. The fruit of the Spirit in each of our lives is powerful and precious, and each of us need to grow in wisdom and in grace. That's a gift, or rather a fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about a gift of the Spirit for a certain situation as God wills. What is the word of wisdom not? It's not psychology. Again, it's not learned in the classroom by studying the natural tendencies of men and women. It's not science of the mind. It's not earthly wisdom. It's not simple wisdom. Every Christian, again, gains insight from study of the Word. Anybody in this room love to study the Word of God? Yeah. So that's what we each need to do. But it's not just simple wisdom. And it's not all of God's wisdom. Again, it's a what of wisdom? A word of wisdom. Doesn't give you all answers for all times. Let me give you an illustration. How many understand that Peter was full of the anointing when he declared, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God"? Now, he could have gotten puffed up, walked around that boat, walked high and mighty and said, "I got it. It was me. I got the revelation." How many know he didn't get to enjoy it that long? Because the next moment, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So it's not, if you get a word of wisdom, it doesn't mean I am the man of faith and power. What is it we used to say? Never mind. Something in flour, paste in flour. Anyway, it's needing God every moment. It's not just for church leadership. We all need the wisdom of God. This is part of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's in you. He wants to speak to us and guide us. Church, let's listen. I am convinced in this hour we need to hear Him more than ever. It's not just a guess or a new idea. Everybody has an incident in your life, whether by accident or not, where you stumble onto the good new idea that'll help. That's not this. Examples. Let's look at them. Examples. Solomon. How many remember Solomon? Nobody had been faced with a situation like this before. They were going to eat their children or take care of their two babies, and one mother rolls over on the baby in the night and smothers him, and so there's one baby left, and that mother starts saying, "That's my baby, that's my baby." And so take two mothers, one baby to Solomon. Says, you know, they're each claiming the baby. And so what did Solomon have at that moment? Probably very quick prayer and an answer from God. Okay. Word of wisdom. I tell you what, we'll find out quickly who the mom is. Just give me the sword. Let's split the baby in two. And of course, the mother, the true mother, her heart said, "No, no, no. Give the baby to the other one." And immediately identified herself as the true mother with a heart for the child. So Solomon had a word of wisdom. We have Elisha in 2 Kings 3, verse 6. Remember when the Moabites were chasing down the people of God and they needed a word from God. And what does Elisha do? He says, "Bring me the minstrel." And so as he plays the minstrel and he begins to worship the Lord, the revelation gift came to his soul. And he says, "I want you to go dig out ditches all through the valley." And they did that. And in the morning, the Moabites looked out and thought it was ditches full of blood, that they'd killed each other. So they ran up to get the Israelites. And the Israelites, of course, quickly and easily defeated them. A word of wisdom for the situation. And interesting, it was in the midst of worship when the revelation gift came to him. And then we have Paul. In Acts 19, and Acts 23, and Acts 27, Paul knows he's called to Rome. He's got a word of knowledge that he's called to Rome, but he doesn't know when, how, why, or where, and it unfolds over the course of time. So there are scriptural illustrations. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Let's go on to the discerning of spirits. We're speaking this morning of the revelation gifts. The discerning of spirits. The definition, God's Spirit informing a Spirit-filled Christian which type of spirit is being manifested in a situation. Again, that's not all in front of you. I'll get to your feelings. Take as many notes as you want, your margins there. But it's a supernatural look into the supernatural world. Discerning of spirits. This is a God-given recognition. And there's your feeling. A God-given recognition of what is God versus the world. What is God versus the flesh? And or what is of the devil? A supernatural power to detect the realm of spirits and their activities. Now, in the Western world, we don't believe in this so much. How many of you understand that on the Olympic Peninsula there are very strong demonic spirits that control people's lives? How many want to do spiritual warfare? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, and see revival break out in the Olympic Peninsula. So we need to be wise in our warfare. So we ask God, give us discerning of spirits so we know what to pray for. There's teaching that talks about there are spirits over particular regions and over communities, whether it's a spirit of greed or broken treaties or different things. And so people wage spiritual warfare with wisdom by the discerning of spirits. It's God's direction to keep us safe. And there's your purpose. This will guide and protect your life, church. Someone say amen. God wants to protect His people. He'll give us discerning of spirits to do so. The purpose, to keep the church and its believers safe from demonic presence and practices. Now, we are also assertive. We are on the onslaught. It's not just hiding to be safe, but God keeps us safe in situations. How many of you have ever heard scenarios or stories where someone just knew they shouldn't go into that room or into that place with that person because they knew something in the spirit was wrong? And God spared their life because of it. We need to pay attention to the leading of God. Turn to each other and say, now you all pay attention to the leading of God. You hear? Wise spiritual warfare. Let's look at the scriptures. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. All right. How do we apply this? God shows us what kinds of spirits are at work in people at times. Whether it's an unclean spirit, a deaf and dumb spirit, a demonic spirit, or an oppressing spirit, or even if it's the Holy Spirit working inside someone. This is an absolute requirement for anybody who labors or works lovingly in deliverance ministry, or even in prophetic ministry, a prophet's mantle. The Bible says, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If there's going to be an accuracy of judgment, there needs to be an understanding and a discerning of spirits. What is it not? It is not suspicion. I have the gift of suspicion. I think you got a problem, brother. Well, the Lord didn't show me that. I think it's right back at you. Then you got a problem, don't you? Gift of suspicion. Not that. It's not a gift of criticism. How many understand Revelation 12, verse 10 calls the devil the accuser of the brethren? Do you know that when it comes to church services, teachings, prophecy, etc., unless it is clearly way off, what we need to spend our time doing is discern for that which is good. Someone say amen.
Amen.
That which is good. Not a gift of criticism, not discovering people's faults. By the way, I say up here, it's not a gift of discernment, meaning it's not just discerning things that differ. It's not just observing things and seeing the differences. It's a supernatural, breathed-on gift at the moment to understand what is functioning inside someone's life. And let me also clearly say, this is not spiritism. How many know what spiritism is? Spiritism is speaking to the dead. Have you paid attention? I don't watch the shows, but do you know how many shows there are nowadays on television that deal with spiritism? Dealing with the dead and horrific experiences and going back, there's a new show coming up. It is blatant through the whole thing. And so these spirits are all off just floating around and they'll come back and talk to you. Now, how many know that God is God and those spirits are not? That soul, that spirit is either gone to be with God or it's gone to hell. There is a heaven and hell, and we need to know the difference, and we need to be praying and laboring that people come to Jesus Christ so they go to heaven. Someone say amen. Now, does that mean I don't think you can ever have an experience where the Lord will allow something? No, I'm confident there can be some precious exceptions to what I've just said. And I've had people tell me about something that occurred where someone had just died and they came to minister or just there for a moment, a presence that was there. Listen, I believe that's, I understand God does all sorts of precious things. I'm talking about something completely different, and I hope that you know the difference of what I'm saying. A demonic spirit. I remember a guy who was into all sorts of reincarnation, and they'd get together to talk to the dead, and this was an old drunkard. And I was just saved. I was barely a pup in the Lord. I was about a month old in the Spirit, and I was going to lead this guy to Jesus. Boy, I had preacher's itch. You know, you ever know that? I was going to lead this guy to Jesus. And first 20 minutes, I was all full of zeal, and we were going for it. And he'd look at me, and he'd nod, and I said, "Now, do you want to give your life to Jesus?" He goes, "Yeah, yes." And so I'd start to lead him in prayer, and he wouldn't pray with me. So I spent the next 20 minutes a little more weary. But you know, I'm young. I'm a young guy full of zeal. And so I lead him again, and "Are you ready to pray?" "Yeah, yeah." And I tried to lead him in prayer. Wouldn't pray. So another 20 minutes. We spent 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours. All of a sudden, other people all gathered. Other bunch of young kids in this youth group, just like me, not knowing anything of what we were doing. How many know there was a spirit controlling the man inside? And until he wanted to be set free from it or have his eyes opened, even the spirit of alcohol that he had given himself to, I wasn't going to get anywhere. I could have been all 8 hours at that thing and not gotten anywhere. We need discerning of spirits to know how to pray, how to effectively minister. Discerning of spirits. Examples, Paul and the damsel. Remember the gal follows him behind? And they want to minister and bring people to Jesus. She's shouting the truth, but she's walking around behind him the whole time saying, "These are people representing the Most High God. Listen to them." Sounds like a good message. Only after several days of this, it drove the man crazy because it was a distraction to the moving of God. And so he turns to her, "Cast that spirit out of her in Jesus' name." Got himself in a whole lot of trouble. The girl's finally free, but the people who were using her to sell people's fortunes and fortune-telling lost their income. Didn't matter what her soul was like. She was finally free. But Paul and the damsel, the discerning of spirit to know what was going on. Paul and Bar-Jesus. Remember, Paul was preaching to the proconsul or to the governor of this area, and this person tried to keep turning him away from the faith. And finally, Paul turns to him and says it straight out, "You're wicked, full of the demonic spirit, and you're going to be blind for a season." Instantly, the man was blind, and instantly the proconsul believed. How many would join that proconsul? I guess God just proved himself, didn't he? And then you have Peter and Simon the sorcerer. Philip leads a great revival in Samaria in Acts chapter 8. And here's a man who had practiced sorcery. And then he was watching the gift of the Spirit be prayed for people. And Peter discerned his spirit and turned to him and said, "You are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon says, "Pray for me that this bad stuff doesn't happen to me. I don't want this." But it was the discerning of spirits that brought the truth to the situation. I've sat across from people in counsel, in counseling or in business, and I've been given that gift from God at times. What do you do with it? You start to pray. You bind that spirit. And if that person's open as a Christian, you say, "You know, can I pray for you?" If it's a business person sitting across, I don't jump across the table and dump a bowl of oil on them. I start to pray and start to take authority over that spirit. Pray for the person's eyes to open, their heart to be released. God wants us to be aware of what the Spirit of God is doing so we can work with him. How many times have you prayed for loved ones, friends, families, for how many years? And how many would like to have the fresh breath of God directing them in that prayer and ministry? We need the revelation gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need the God-breathed impartation of knowledge, of wisdom, of discerning, to know how to reach hearts, to know what to do, and how to move forward. We need to see Jesus and see what he's doing. Amen? Amen? Elaine, would you come? Team, would you all come up? Let's sing that last song again. We need to see Jesus, and that's what we want. So as we take a look at the gifts of the Spirit, it helps us to have understanding so we can be more effective as his people as we move forward in ministry. And we get that by spending time with him, time in the Word, and time in prayer.